Harford, White, Gullen. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Time to talk some hoops now on the Breakfast Club. And it's one man you want to talk to when you're talking hoops. His name is Andrew Bogut. He's the king of Sydney in the NBL these days. It's great to have him with us on RSN 927. Good morning, Bogey.
Morning. How you going, fellas?
We're going really well. Thanks, buddy. Nice to have you on. Appreciate it. And your boys, the Sydney Kings, are going absolutely magnificently, don't mind, sitting atop the NBL ladder at this stage. Were you as bullish as some pundits about the squad's capabilities this year? Obviously a long way to go, but the squad's capabilities?
Yeah, somewhat unknown. Very fresh-faced, so a brand-new squad, basically. Only a few players returning from last season. Obviously a new coach and new CEO. A lot of changes over here, so we really didn't know how we'd fare out. But to start off, 9-1 is definitely something we'll take right now.
And your second year in the NBL after obviously a fantastic career in the NBA, and who knows if it's over or not. We'll get to that shortly. But are you enjoying it more? You're more relaxed? You're more at home? More comfortable in the surroundings now?
Yeah, definitely. I think just used to the ins and outs of it from last season and knowing what to expect. And winning games helps. So whenever you're winning, I think, the body feels better, the mind feels better whenever you're winning.
Well, you're doing plenty of that at the moment. Just the standard of the competition, we're getting a lot of players from overseas coming in, particularly from the college system. We'll talk about RJ and LaMelo in a second. But seeing a lot of players come in and have an influence on their teams, Andrew, is this the way forward for the competition to get those high-class college kids to come over and make our competition better?
Yeah, no doubt. The next pass program that you just mentioned, those two fellas, have been huge for the NBL and a lot of Australian talent also choosing to come back, to the NBL instead of going over to Europe for more lucrative deals. So the more talent we can get playing here, the better, and the product's, getting more and more competitive every year as well.
Andrew, you've played in front of big crowds, but the biggest crowd in NBL history was thanks to LaMelo and you on the weekend. What was that like?
Oh, it was great. We play in a pretty big arena as it is, but we ever rarely fill it up with 18,000. We average about 9,000 or 10,000. So to get that thing filled to the rafters and a great atmosphere and Sydney, just enjoying basketball. I think we got obviously a lot of first time fans coming to see LaMelo, and all we can hope for is they like the product and that they'll return. And I think that'll be the case with a lot of them.
Has this whole thing got bigger quicker than you thought? I mean, we knew it was on the rise, NBL. We've seen that over the last 2 or 3 years. You coming back, etc. But has this thing even got bigger than you?
I think it has. I think it's been brewing. I think it's the perfect storm. I think everything's come together very, very well. The league's starting to get some stability financially. Obviously, Larry Kesselman, opened up his wallet, invested in the league and numerous teams, and we're starting to get some owners that have some credibility as well. Not just in the basketball world, but in the business world. So whenever you put all that together and you start attracting good talent and good players, the rest takes care of itself.
Are you as excited about playing basketball as you ever have been, Andrew? Obviously, you've had an amazing last 12 months with the NBL and the NBA and then the World Championships, all those sorts of things. But what about now? What's keeping you as excited as ever?
I just want to win a championship, to be honest with you. I'd really love to have an NBL trophy. I think that's kind of what's driving me to get out there and be competitive, and team's faring well, so we have a good chance to do that. It's a very competitive league, as I said, but the driving force for me right now will be winning an NBL championship.
Are people in the US that you know, on the back of RJ and LaMelo, are they talking about the NBL? Because obviously there's heaps of people streaming on Facebook, and the website stuff is going through the roof, and the activation with the fans is going through the roof. Are they talking about the NBL more than they ever have, from your knowledge, with your mates in the States?
Funnily enough, a few journalist friends of mine, one of them's a national writer over there, actually reached out to me and asked some questions, and they were really kind of enthused by the way, the NBL do things. They were kind of shocked that we go live in a timeout and some different things that we do, and they ended up tuning into the Perth and New Zealand game as well, just because they like the Sydney and Hawks game. So I think that they love the way the league is going.
Oh,
Definitely been good.
Yeah, great.
And from the other side of the fence, how are you watching the start of this NBA season? There's been a lot going on. I won't mention your Warriors, but what's your take on the rest of it?
It's been interesting. I think, obviously, the Warriors, yeah, they are not faring too well. I think it's the biggest disparity from a winning record to a losing record in NBA history, possibly. So, wow. You never like to hear that. But, yeah, I mean, the Clippers are looking really good. The Lakers are doing well. So, there's a number of teams that could win it this year. And I think that's kind of a good thing. I think the last couple of seasons, it's kind of been Golden State and everyone else. So, I think the league now seems to be a little bit more balanced, and I think it's a good thing.
Would you go back again? Like, last year was an amazing story, and it was a successful story for you personally. Was there enough in it to think, yep, after my season with the NBL, I'll do it again next year if the offer came?
The NBA, yeah, possibly. I doubt the Warriors will come calling, because I think they're going to go in full rebuild mode. But yeah, I think it's definitely feasible if it's the right situation, but I won't go back just for the sake of going.
Yeah, so is it more you analysing where it might fit for you rather than the other way around, or how does that work, or is that just so far in the back of your mind it's just all focusing on the Kings?
Right now, the focus on the Kings. Obviously, we're leading into Tokyo as well, as everyone knows, so, you know, it depends how I feel post-NBL, where I do with the rest before Tokyo. I'm still feeling pretty good and nimble. I'll give it a crack, but it'll obviously be an opportunity to try and win a championship would be the main thing in the NBA. I wouldn't go back because I need to go back to the NBA just to play in the NBA. It's more of that, and then obviously somewhere, you know, a city that I'm kind of familiar with and somewhere where I feel comfortable for the family as well would be the other priority.
I'm glad you mentioned being nimble. I was watching the World Cup or the World Championships with great interest, and obviously we're all following the Boomers campaign, and you seem to have some knees pain or something at the time, from what I can remember, or back pain or something. But I was watching you in the last couple of weeks in the NBL, and you're doing behind-the-back dribble dunks. You're cutting the lane. You're moving like you're 25.
I don't know about that. You need to come to training and see me on daily. definitely not that great, but good days and bad. You know, I'm getting older now, so some days I struggle to get out of bed. Can't get up for the games, obviously, because they're a whole different environment, but the trainings are starting to get a little bit tedious.
And you mentioned Tokyo before for the Olympic campaign. On the back of what happened at the World Champs, and a two-part question, how long did it take you to get over the disappointment of that, and how strong a driving force is Tokyo for you to redeem, I suppose, what might have happened?
Well, the good thing about post-Tokyo was going straight into the NBL preseason. Kind of until I got back to Australia and got back involved with the Kings, I was thinking about it probably every minute of the day. But once the preseason started and you're back with the boys, I think it kind of takes your mind off what's happened previously and you're focused on the next thing at hand. So that kind of came around really quickly, which was kind of actually a positive. But we didn't finish the way we were like. It was disappointing for everybody, and we have a solid squad though that can hopefully do something special in Tokyo, and hopefully we get Benny Simmons and a few other boys put their hand up this time around, and we can have, you know, our best squad on the floor.
Oh, I think you certainly had the basketball fans in Australia and the sports fans absolutely on side, so they'll be all over you in Tokyo as well, the Boomers. Don't you worry about that. And just on the NBL, Bogey, it's great to have your experience and knowledge in the game talking to us and our listeners on The Breakfast Club. Do Jeremy Lulliger and the executive of the NBL talk to you about your opinion on things, your take on things about how to make the league better, what could work, what might not work, what doesn't work, just so there is constant conversation with someone of your experience?
Not to that extent, especially not in season. I mean, Jeremy's missed out about a few things that I kind of knew about the next before it happened, and that was a number of years ago, but not to that extent. That usually goes through our owner, Paul Smith, and Paul might relay it to me or get my opinion on it, but it doesn't go, at this point, it doesn't go directly, because I think they understand that obviously we're focused on building the Sydney Kings first and foremost and trying to win games, so every now and then we catch up and say hello, but I don't get into the nitty-gritty with the business side of things.
And you're in town, you're in Melbourne town. And was it this week? You got the South East Melbourne Phoenix?
Yeah, we do on Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah, should be a big one. Yeah, they're coming off a couple of tough losses, so they'll come out pumped up. And we've got to make sure we keep our thing rolling, so it'll be an exciting game.
Have you been impressed? Yeah, I mean, you know Melbourne as well as anyone. What they've done in the region and how well they've started this season?
Definitely. Especially, you know, them backing themselves to play in a big arena in the inaugural season's kind of been impressive. You know, most teams starting up would start small and then try to build up to that, but they've said, we're going to back ourselves. And they've had some fluctuating crowd numbers, but for the most part, it's been very, very good. And I'm quite impressed with the fact that they've said, we're going to back ourselves and we're going to play in the big arena and we're going to fill it up. And I think averaging 4,000 or 5,000 people, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for a team in an inaugural season, especially considering United probably own that market at the moment, they've done pretty well.
Well, Saturday evening, 5:30, Melbourne Arena is where you can see the Phoenix in action, but also see Andrew Bogut and his Sydney Kings, the latter leading Sydney Kings in action as well in the NBA in round 8. Always great to chat, Andrew. Really appreciate it. Look forward to doing it again soon. Go well on Saturday night.
No worries. Thanks.